You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action on this edition from Ripon, Hamilton, Fosslass and Kempton. But plenty of racing to come on Thursday and you'll hear it all live. Malton, Andrew Mount and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio on Thursday afternoon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look at the action is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, all is well, Sam. Good. All is well.
Good stuff. Looking forward to Epsom this weekend?
I am, yeah. Some good stuff, obviously the changing weather has had an impact over the last couple of days, but yeah, it should be a really good meeting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, as you say there, the rain that we've had over the last few days has certainly rejigged particularly the Derby market. We'll come on to the Oaks in a little while, Craig, because we've got the final nine set for that. But in terms of the Derby market, this incessant rain that we've seen has resulted in money coming for Dovey and Idaho, who've been clipped in from 8 to 1 from 10 to 1 for Dovey and 14s from 20s for Idaho. And we've seen US Army Ranger drift a little bit to 9 to 2. Is the ground that important for those three individuals?
I think it's definitely given the horses that have shortened a much better strand, a much stronger chance. The likes of Deauville, the Dermot World horse as well, Harzand. There's a few that have proven themselves already on a soft surface, which I do think, you know, there's at least going to be the word soft is at least going to feature in the going description on the first day on Friday. And, you know, these horses have proven themselves in the conditions. And, you know, some of the others who are shorter price in the market, you know, still have that to prove. So it's understandable that several of these outsiders have shortened in the last 24 hours with the rainfall. I mean, there's one at a huge price, you know, if it does really turn up soft, come up soft, and it is a stamina test, and Algometer at 33 to 1 is a huge price. He's more a St. Ledger type for later in the year. But, you know, if it turned into a real stamina test in the Derby, he'd be a big price. And it's understandable that some of the bigger priced horses that have form in soft ground are being backed in shortening.
Yeah, indeed. And plenty of money as well has been put forward for this race now, Craig. It'll be the richest ever run in Britain. And this year's renewal looks the most wide open we've seen in ages. Both those things combining together all adds up for positive movements for the sport, surely.
Yeah, I think it's really good. You know, I think we'll see betting 4-5 the field on the day, which I think is really good. And there's no outstanding candidate. You know, you could have a shortlist of 6 or 7 for this year's Derby and still not find a winner, Sam. It's that competitive. No, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I haven't had a bet as yet. In recent days with the weather changing, I was obviously onto it quite quickly to see if there was an edge somewhere with the rain softening ground. But it's just wide open. It's a difficult race to call. I mean, the only one that puzzles me, and we've discussed this on the last 2 days on the show, is Sir Michael Stout's horse, Ulysses. Mm. I just cannot understand why he is so short in the market at 7-1. He's the biggest surprise for me because I think there's 5 or 6 horses in the race that have much stronger form. He won a maiden at Newbury, a massive step forward to the Derby, and you know the figure he clocked was nothing special, and only half a second quicker than the Class 5 handicap over the same course and distance on that Newbury card. So he has got a massive amount of improvement to find, and he's officially rated 98. I think he's the lowest rated horse in the race. But to be honest, if he was running in a handicap off that mark, Sam, I still wouldn't want to back him.
Really?
Off the back of his Newbury. I just don't think he's achieved a level of form that 98 suggests. So I'm surprised to see him so short in the market.
Is it almost like a snowballing process with horses like this? Because the price absolutely collapsed last week. Is it people just following the money and then it all sort of rolls in together? Because I think his price halved in the space of 2 or 3 days at the back end of last week.
Yeah, it did. Obviously, there was a positive bulletin from the Sir Michael Stout camp that obviously people latched onto. And I think people will maybe look at his pedigree, you know, and I think obviously he's got room for improvement on what he's shown. He's by Galileo and he's by an Oaks winner, Light Shift. So he's bred for the job, isn't he? And I think, you know, people will be looking at that as well. And trained by Sir Michael Stout. And two and two together. And as you said, it's probably snowballed from there, price shortened. Because that's the... And even now, there's still no outstanding candidate. And people, you know, even in the next 48 hours, will still be looking to back horses. There will be more market moves because it's just such a wide open race.
Indeed. A race that looks a little bit less wide open is Friday's renewal of the Oaks. As I said, the final declarations have come out for this just about an hour before we recorded the podcast. We're down to a field of 9, headed by Minding at 5-6, Skiffle 6-1, Turret Rock 7-1, 8-1 for Somehow, and it's 10s bar. No huge notable absentees, but even Song, who was general second favourite for this, has been left out by Aidan O'Brien. He still includes three candidates, including Minding. Surprised to see Even Song left out of the Oaks.
Yeah, I don't know the reason why they've taken the horse out. I don't know if it's had a setback or whatever, Sam. But yeah, with only 9 lining up, you know, it is a little bit of a surprise because there's prize money that goes down several places in the place order. So yeah, a little bit of a surprise. But you know, this rain cannot be good for Minding. You know, she definitely still has a stamina to prove. Only raced up to a mile so far in her career. And you look to see her two full sisters. Kissed by Angels, had a short career, only raced 4 times. The last of those 4 starts, she stepped up and tripped to a mile and a half in the Irish Oaks. She was beaten before the distance became a factor on that occasion, so it's hard to look into it. But prior to that Oaks run, she'd only raced up to a mile. And the other full sister was called Howe. She only raced twice in her career at 5 and 6 furlongs. You know, there isn't a huge amount of stamina on the damp side of the pedigree for Minding. And obviously, with a little bit more emphasis on stamina, now the rain's arrived, you have to think, you know, it's a short price for a horse that has a few questions to answer. At the current price, a Skiffle is a knock in each way bet for me. You know, she's a quality filly. Caught the eye on debut at Ascot, improved next time at Goodwood to win a decent listed race, posting a really good figure on that occasion as well. She's by Dabawi, and when you watch the video back from Goodwood, she displays quite a bit of knee action. So any cut in the ground certainly wouldn't hindrance her chances, and I think she's a decent each way bet in the Oaks at this stage, round about the 6-1 mark. I just cannot see her out the 3.
Yeah, as you say, 6-1 with 3 places on offer. Of course, there's other question marks regarding Minding, given what happened at the Curra as well, bumping ahead on the way out of the stalls. Would you be concerned about how she breaks here, given that? I mean, might the horse be a little bit more tentative, I suppose, to burst out of the stalls, given what happened last time?
Yeah, it's something to bear in mind, definitely, Sam. Yeah, you know, it's something to build in as well. And again, that isn't factored into the price.
Yeah.
You know, I think it definitely had an impact on her performance at the Curra last time. She was only went down by a head in the end, beaten by a good horse in Jet Setting. But I'd just be worried about her stamina in the closing stages of this contest, particularly for a horse that is likely to go off a shade of odds on.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it's fair enough to say happy to let her win at that price.
Definitely. Like I said, I think Skiffle, you know, even if Minding wins, it's hard to see Skiffle still finishing out the 3 and 6-1 each way. We're not doing a lot of damage there.
Yeah, correct. Anything else you're particularly looking forward to from the Epsom meeting before we move on to look at 4 races from Thursday, Craig?
Just a good meeting all round, Sam. Mm. I mean, I really like the Dash on the Saturday. It's a real
quite
good
a
race.
Spectacle. The Dash, isn't it?
The draw obviously plays a big part, so we'll be waiting to see when the decks come out on Thursday for that race. Yeah, it should be an excellent couple of days. And you know, that obviously with the weather changing rapidly, you have to go back to 2002 to find the last Derby with the word soft in the goal description. Yeah.
Blimey.
And prior to that, you know, I went back to 1988 and there's only been one Derby run with the word soft in the goal description.
Wow.
So, just shows you it's going to have a slightly different impact. And So I just don't see it drying out between now and Saturday. I think, like I said, I think the word soft will definitely appear in the description.
Certainly looking forward to the Epsom meet. And then we'll look ahead now to four races on Thursday. We've got four races from four different venues to bring you on this edition. So a real variety. But we begin with a handicap coming up at Ripon. This is their 320 over a mile and a furlong. Seven runners set to take their chance in this at the time of recording. Anything leap off the page to you in this one?
There's two that head my shortlist here. The top weight, Rotherwick for Paul Cole. Ran a good race at Newmarket, was staying on in the closing stages of that contest. That was his comeback run as a four-year-old, Sam, and it looked to be an inadequate trip the mile. You know, he was staying on well at the end, and he looked in need of further. You know, he steps up the best part of two furlongs here, and I would imagine they would revert to front-running tactics as well, and it should suit at Ripon on this type of track. And he could be a hard horse to beat here. You know, he's definitely the one that I would want to be with. The other one to give a positive mention to is Count Monte Cristo. Didn't show a great deal on his comeback, but he was drawn wide at Beverley, and he had to, you know, race wide for quite a bit of that contest. He could never really get competitive. He tired in the closing stages. He shaped like he still needed the run, and he finished sixth. You know, he was a good three-year-old last year. He was unlucky on a couple of occasions. He bumped into Keep In Line, who's now rated 100. He bumped into Tasha, who's now rated 107. And then he completely blew his lines, didn't he, when he got beat at 1-5 at Thirsk. But he put that blip behind him and he bounced back and he eventually broke his maiden tag at Hamilton. I mean, if he can build on his reappearance at Beverley, I don't think 81's a bad mark for Count Monte Cristo. And I think he's the biggest danger to Paul Cole's Rotherwick.
Okay, couple for Craig to consider then in that Ripon 320. We go to Hamilton now for their 4 o'clock. Again, a mile and a furlong handicap for us to assess here with nine runners this time. So the each-way possibilities are opened up a little bit more for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to mention a few here, Sam, before we get to the selection, because I think it's a decent race. Starting at the top of the weight, Muhafiz. This horse looks a lot better than his current mark of 76. He really caught the eye. Ahead of his race at Newcastle last week, and he got the complete run of the race from the front and could still only finish third behind two David O'Mara runners. It was a disappointing result from the position he found himself in at an early stage and the way the race developed. But he is a grand looking type and he does look better than a mark of 76. Archie's Advice, trained by Keith Dalglish, he was a wide margin winner here last time. He's gone up £6 for that win, and the conditions will be slightly drier. Again, he's a big player. Archie Pelago, I thought, ran well at Musselburgh, got caught in a bad position coming round a bend, but ran on well to take sixth. But the selection and the unlucky horse from last time, you've got to be with it and give it another chance, is David O'Mara's All You. He really should have won at Beverley last time under Philip Macon. He was finishing hand over fist at the finish. He eventually went down by half a length, but a couple of strides past the line and he's a length in front. You know, he was a really unlucky loser. He'll probably be priced accordingly on the back of that, because I'm sure everybody's seen it, but he's going to take all the beating off the same mark of 72. All You in the 4 o'clock at Hamilton.
Okay, Craig's sticking with All You then in that Hamilton race. We go to Fossass now to take in a little bit of jumping action. A handicap chase here, just shy of 3 miles is the trip for these, and a rather surprising going description for Fosslass. Good to firm in places. I don't know. Has it ever been good to firm at the Welsh venue?
It doesn't happen very often, and there's still time for that to change, Sam. Yeah. But I believe the West are set to be benefiting from a brighter spell. It's the east of the country that seems to be suffering from the rain at the moment. But some decent ground, and I think that can play to the strengths of Brodie Blur, who won very well at Worcester last time. Didn't look likely, the victory, turning for home, but stuck to his task really well under Harry Cobden, who again takes the ride on Thursday. And off a £7 higher mark in what looks a weak contest, I can definitely see him backing up from his Worcester victory and take in all the beating. You know, when you look at the opposition, Azure Fly was a very weak finisher at Wincanton last time. It was a tame finishing effort. Big Casino, I think he's at his best when just racing at just short of 3 miles. Dersey Sound plugged on at one pace at Soville. Cork Citizen's been a little bit disappointing and he probably wants a little bit further than this. So, you know, the opposition isn't great. If there is to be a danger, it could be Rebecca Curtis's Globalisation. But he needs to bounce back from a really disappointing effort at Stratford last time. So The one that comes here in the best heart is Brody Blur, and I think he can win again after winning at Worcester 14 days ago.
Brody Blur, then, the choice of Craig in the 7 o'clock at Foss Last. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the 8.10 at Kempton. We're on the poly track here for a mile handicap, part of the London Mile Series qualifier. We've got 14 runners to take their chance in this one at the time of recording. Who's caught the eye here?
You've left the hardest race until last year, Sam. A really difficult competitive renewal. I wouldn't be too confident about any of the runners here, to be honest. But the one that I'm going to put forward is Franco Secret. You know, he's a horse that nearly always catches the eye the way he runs on in the closing stages. There wasn't enough, or certainly wasn't a strong enough early pace on at Kempton last time over a mile for him, and he was doing all his best work at the finish of that race. He was finishing to real good effect when fourth behind Cape Icon. He remains well handicapped here on the same mark of 82, and I think, you know, there should be plenty of early pace on in this contest, and that'll help this horse. And he's another one that certainly another one that's worth another chance after his eye-catching performance here when finishing fourth last time.
Okay, Craig's selection then in the 8-10 at Kempton. Just give us a quick recap then, please, of your four picks for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, in the 3:20 at Ripon, we're going with the top weight Rotherwick. In the 4 o'clock at Hamilton, we're going with the unlucky All You from Beverly last time. In the 7 o'clock at Force Last, Brody Blur. And in the 8:10 at Kempton, hopefully finish on a winner here with Franco Secret.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of the racing on Thursday. Thank you for joining me, Craig, and best of luck with the action.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mark Walton, Andrew Mountain, Ollie Pimlock guiding you through all the racing live as it happens on Thursday. Best of luck with anything you are backing over the next few days.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.